Okay, we're going to start here with the Mishnah on Yadalet Amud Aleph. Gemara here gives us the protocol for what the Kohen Gadol does while he's sequestered for the 7 days. It says, Kol Shivat Yamim, Hu Zorek Et Adam, Umaktir Et HaKetoret, Umeitiv Et HaNeirot. All of those 7 days, he performs the Avodot that are normally done in the Mikdash. He's Zorek Et Adam, sprinkles the blood, Maktir Et HaKetoret, puts the Ketoret on the Mizbeach HaZahav, Umeitiv Et HaNeirot, and he fixes up and lights the Neirot. Umakriv et arosh vet aregel. And he puts on the mizbeach from the tamid, he puts on the head and the regel. Vishar kol hayamim. The rest of the year, imratza lakriv, makriv. If he so chooses, he can go ahead and be makriv. Shokoen gadol makriv, chelek varosh. Because he can make that decision, he gets the right to go first in anything that he wants to do. So if he wants to participate in an avoda, he can go ahead and say, I want to do the avoda, and he gets first right of refusal on that avoda. But he's not obligated to do it. It's his choice. During these 7 days, he doesn't have that option. He has to do it during these 7 days because we need to get him ready for Yom HaKippurim, where he's going to do all the avoda. So he needs to be well-practiced, well-versed in these items so that he can do it on Yom HaKippurim. And the same thing is, V'notegel chelek barosh. Whenever they divide up any of the korbanot, or they divide up, for instance, the lechem apanim, anything that they're dividing up, Kohen Gadol gets to take a portion first. That's his right to do it. He doesn't have to, but he can do that. So that's his ability to exercise that right to either do an avoda or to partake of any of the korbanot or the lechem apanim or anything else that's divided up amongst the kohanim. Kohen Gadol gets that right to do it first. Now, in terms of Ketuvot HaNeirot, the Gemara later today will discuss what's exactly involved with that. Just to be aware of the fact that there is a Machloket Rashi and the Rambam as to how the Neirot or Ketuvot HaNeirot worked in the Mikdash. And that has to do with the more fundamental Machloket between them, which is, what does the word Tamid mean here? Because with regards to the Menorah, we have this requirement that it is lit every day, and it'll be there Tamid. So when the Tamid can have two meanings. Tamid can be continuous, or tamid can be on regular intervals. So that's the question of how to explain with the menorah. Rashi believes that the menorah means that every day the menorah must be lit. That's what it means, tamid. Whereas the Rambam sees the requirement of tamid by the menorah is that it's lit continuously. So for that reason, we know that there was a Ketuvot HaNeirot both by tamid shel shachar and also by the tamid shel ben arba'im in the morning and in the afternoon. With regards to the afternoon, everybody agrees that they lit the menorah in the afternoon, and that the menorah stayed lit all through the evening until the morning. Question is, what did you do in the morning? When you come in there in the morning and you find that the neirot are not lit, what do you do? So according to Rashi, you simply clean them out and you leave them as they are, and then in the afternoon you refill them, and then you're going to light them then, because they do not need to be lit during the day. Again, there's a requirement to light them in the evening and then be lit all night. That's the tamid. Every evening you're going to do that. On the other hand, the Rambam believes that tamid means it has to be continuously lit. That means that if in the morning you come and you find that they're not lit, you clean them out, you refill them, and you light them so that they're lit until the afternoon, where again you're going to do the cleaning out and refill them for the next day. That's the difference between the Rambam and the Rashi as to what the exact mitzvah is in terms of fixing up the neirot between tamid shel shachar and the tamid shel ben harbayim. Here Rashi speaks about Meitivet Neirot is Medashen Min Efer HaPtilot Shekabu. He clears out the ashes from the wicks that are already extinguished. This is Rashi the Shitato, that all he's doing in the morning is cleaning them out if they've extinguished. He's not relighting them. According to the Rambam, not only would he clean them out, he'd also relight them, because the requirement of having them be lit on a continuous basis. Right, so now the Gemara says, Mantana, who's the author of our Mishnah? Amar Rav Chista, Delok Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah is not authored by Rabbi Akiva. Alright, we can't figure out who it is, but we can figure out who it's not, which is De Rabbi Akiva, Hamar, Tahor Shenafal Alav Haza'a, Tamato, that a Tahor who has been sprinkled on by the sprinkling of the Efer Paraduma, he has gotten the Mechatat, the Meinida sprinkled on him, then he becomes Tame, Hechi Ovid Avoda. Then how is he participating in the avoda here? So the question relates to the fact that someone who comes into contact, we're going to see that today, someone comes into contact with the Meinida, the Meichatat, becomes Tamei Tumat Erev, which means that you have to go to the mikveh, you're Tvul Yom, and then when the sun sets, you are Tahor. But that would also preclude you from participating in the avoda. We said before that what we do for the Kohen Gadol is during those 7 days of sequester, we sprinkle on him each day from all the parot adumot that were there, in order to make sure that he's for sure tahor when he comes into Yom HaKippurim. Now, for Rabbi Akiva, if you did that, you'd make the Kohen Gadol tameh each day. Not only is it, yes, you're mitahar him if he's tameh mate, but according to Rabbi Akiva, if he happens to be tahor, you actually make him tameh. So if he's tameh, great, it works for him. But if he's tahor and you're still doing it because of this maila of Yom HaKippurim and the Kohen Gadol, you want him to be absolutely tahor, you risk making him tamei to materev. Well, if he's tamei to materev, then what do we do with our Mishnah, which says that he's doing the avodah all day? The only way he can participate in the avodah is if he's tahor. So that's why the Gemara says our Mishnah cannot be authored by Rabbi Akiva. Titania, Kuzave Bright of Hizaha Tahor Al HaTamei. The tahor is mazeh, sprinkles it on the tamei. Al HaTamei Tahor. If he sprinkles it on someone that is tamei, then that person becomes tahor. Ve'ala tahor. On the other hand, if he sprinkles it on somebody tahor, tamei, then they become tamei. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That is the position of Rabbi Akiva. We're going to see in a second why Rabbi Akiva concludes this, but because of the word ala tamei, which is extraneous. So since the word ala tamei is extraneous, we have to do something. Why is he only sprinkling ala tamei? Of course he's sprinkling ala tamei. So the ala tamei, according to Rabbi Akiva, is middayik from that. That means only when you sprinkle on the tamei does it work to make you tahor. But if you sprinkle it on someone's tahor, it'll actually make them tamei. Chamim amrim, ema dvarim alalu amurim, ela dvarim hamikablim tuma. Chamim say no, that this comes to teach you that hazaah only is called hazaah when it's done on something that is mikabel tuma. Mahi. What is going on here? Kiditnan. This is the Mishnah that explains to us what this position of the Chachamim means. Nitkavin lazot ala beima. He intended to sprinkle on a beima. Bizal adam. And instead, he sprinkled on a person. Now, a behema, as long as it's alive, is not mikabel tuma. So a behema cannot be mikabel tuma. A human being can be mikabel tuma. So in terms of hazaa, the behema, there's no necessity to sprinkle on the behema. It will do nothing. On the other hand, if you sprinkle on adam, then there's benefit because if the adam is tameh, then it will make him tahor. Over here, he intended to do it on an animal, and instead he did it on the person. So in b'yesh be'ezov, if the hyssop still has liquid left in it, then yishaneh, he'll do it again. But what you see from this Mishnah is the deficit was that he was nitkavin lebehema, and it landed on the Adam. In terms of hazaah, he did a hazaah, he did a proper sprinkling, because the sprinkling ended up on a human being, who is someone that needs sprinkling. So as far as the sprinkling is concerned, he got that right. Kavanah, he got that wrong, because he intended for behema, and he got it on Adam. So therefore we say to him, if there's still liquid left in the hyssop, in the azov, then go ahead and sprinkle again. Because the first hazaah was a kosher hazaah. It just didn't qualify for this individual because you weren't mitkavin for him. So do it again with kavanah. On the other hand, nitkavin lazot ala adam, if he intends to sprinkle on a person, vizal abehema, instead it lands on a behema, im yesh be'ezov, lo yishaneh. If there's leftover liquid in the ezov, he cannot go back and do it again and take care of the person. Now over here, the deficit is not that he didn't have kavanah for the person. He had kavanah for the person. The deficit is he didn't get it on to the person. So you would think, okay, he has leftovers, go ahead and sprinkle again and get on the person. The answer is no, because the first sprinkling he did is ois hazaah. It's not a real hazaah. Because when he sprinkled it on the behema, a behema is not mikabel tuma. Since it's not mikabel tuma, it's not called hazaah. As if he did avodah with the mechatat, and it's nifsal. It's no longer good. It's no longer good. He can't go and sprinkle the second time with the same liquid because it's pasul. So what you have here is v'izah tahor al hatameh. It's only called hazaah when you sprinkle it on someone who can be tameh or can be mekabel tumah. So if you sprinkle on a human being, that's called hazaah. So then you can do it again because you've done hazaah. It's still kosher what you have, the liquid that you have left over. On the other hand, if you sprinkle on a behemah that's not mekabel tuma, you haven't done azah, you've done a voda, and it's posel the liquid that's there, and you have to start again. And that's why you can't sprinkle what's left over in the hyssop. Okay, my time at the Rabbi Akiva. What is the sheet of Rabbi Akiva premised on? Ichtov rachman of hizah tohor alav, that all I had to do was use a pronoun, which is the hizah tohor alav, on him. On him is the reference that we're talking about all the way along here, which is the tamei. So if it's on the tamei, why does the Torah go ahead and say ala tamei again? My ala tamei, shva mina ala tamei, tahor, ala tohor tamei. To make that deal, which is on someone that is tamei, it works to make him tahor. On someone that's tahor, it makes them actually tamei. Rabbanon. So what do the Rabbanon do with that? Haile dvarim hamekablim tumahu da'ata. They do it as we just explained now. They say that that ala tamei means it's only qualified as hazaah if you sprinkle it on someone who can be mikabel tuma or an object that can be mikabel tuma. Aval hocha, kavachomer hu. But in terms of sprinkling it on somebody that's tahor, that's a kavachomer. Ilam ala tame tahor. If someone was tame, it makes them tahor. Ala tahor lo koshigin. If it's already tahor, it should of course make him tahor. I mean, obviously he doesn't need that, but there's no reason that it should make him tame. Rabbi Akiva, what do you mean? Rabbi Akiva says that's exactly the conundrum of the Parah Aduma. Hainu dekamar Shlomo. That's what Chazal Dashav and the Pasuk in Kohelet that Shlomo says. Amarti ech koma v'hi rechoka mimeni. I had all this wisdom, but there were some things that were out of my reach. Let me say, what is that referring to? That's referring to the Parah Aduma. Why is it referring to the Parah Aduma? Because it has this inconsistency, incongruous side to it, which is that it's mitaher the tameim. On the other hand, it's mitamei the tehorim. Rabbanon say, no. That conundrum is not by sprinkling onto someone who's tahor or someone who's tamei, but that's rather to do with the mazeh umazin alav tahor. Person who sprinkles, the kohen who does the avoda of sprinkling it on the individual who's tamei, plus the mazin alav, the one who gets sprinkled on, tehorim, they remain tahor. Venogeya behen, tamei. And someone who touches the mechatat umedidat, that they become tamei. So that's the difficulty in Parah Aduma, which is those that are involved in the process all stay tahor. Someone who just touches it all of a sudden becomes tameh. So this liquid that is mitaher, someone who's tameh mate, if you come to contact with it, it all of a sudden makes you tameh. It's interesting here, Tosfot asks, he says, I'm not sure what the distinction is over here.
Yeah.
Because the mazeh is the one who sprinkles it, he's tahor. Mazin alav is someone who's tameh tumat mate. If you sprinkle it on him, what's his status after you've sprinkled it on him? He was tamei tumat shiva of tumat mate. Say it's the seventh day. So now you sprinkle it on him on the seventh day. He's not tahor immediately. You know what he has to do after you sprinkle on him on the seventh day? He has to go to the mikveh. And he's a tful yom until Erev Shemesh. A person who touches the mei chatat, the mei nida, what's his status? He goes to the mikveh. And then he waits tful yom and Erev Shemesh. So it says, I don't really see the difference between anugaya and someone who's getting sprinkled on. They're both tamei tumat erev after that point in time. So then it does what says, this person's in the process of becoming tahor, causes him to be tahor. He does some fancy footwork to make it different. In reality, they're really the same din, but understood that the person who touches the mechatat was tahor, moving to being tamei, whereas the one who is tamei tumat mate, the hazah is taking him closer to being tahor. So that's generally how you would view it. So for the mazeh, who's tahor, he remains tahor. For the mazin alav, who's tamei, he's now in the process of becoming more tahor. Whereas for the person who touches it, who is always tahor, now all of a sudden becomes tamei. Yes, because it says here, he's tahor ala tamei. So there it means that tahor, he remains tahor even after he's done the hazah. So that's a dispensation here that when you do the sprinkling, you remain tahor. We're going to see in a second that not only is nogeya tamei, but even someone who's nosei, someone who carries the Mechatar is tamei, but that is what you're thinking of as the pasuk in Parshat Chukat, which says that umazeh, the one who sprinkles it, is tamei. So how could it be here that the Gemara is saying that he's tahor? So that's Gemara's going to darshan right now. Gemara says umazeh tahor. Is that really true that the one who sprinkles it is tahor? Vaktiv. The pasuk that you're thinking of, umazeh mei nidayicha beis vigadav. You sprinkle it, you got to wash your clothing. Not only are you tamei tumat erev, you also have your clothing becomes tamei tumat erev. What's going on here? How did you just say here that the mazeh is tahor? It's an explicit pasuk that the mazeh is tamei. So my mazeh, nogeya. Mazeh means that he came into contact with it. Gemara says, v'aktiv, mazeh, v'aktiv, nogeya. What do you have to do that for? We have an explicit pasuk that talks about him, nogeya. The one who touches the mechatat, he becomes tamei. So what do you need two psukim to tell me about nogeya? Vote, mazeh by kibus bigadim, nogeya lo by kibus bigadim. The second thing is their din is different. When it comes to someone who comes into contact with the mei nida, he himself is tamei. He is tamei tumat erev. His clothing is totally tahor. On the other hand, the mazeh that's mentioned here in the pasuk, not only is he tamei, his clothing becomes tamei. So the din is different. You can't claim that this is about an ogeya and it's just repeating the same thing. Elamai mazeh, no se. What does mazeh mean? Someone who carries the mei chatat or the mei nida. V'nichneu v'rachmana no se. Why don't you just make it easy? And right, hanosei mei nida yichabes begadav. Right, the one who carries the mei anida, he will come base begadav. That would make everything easy. Why are you making it confusing by writing mazeh? So Gemara says, my time aktiv mazeh, hakamashvalon, the be'inan shur haza'ah. That comes to teach you how much you must carry in order to become tameh. So it gives you the minimum shiur for coming tameh. So this is where Tosafot speaks about, he has a very large Tosafot over here, saying, well, why did the Gemara have different options here? Why does the Gemara suggest this? that the pasuk about nogeya, that says that when you touch it, you become tameh, but your clothing is tor, that's when you touch less than a shiur. But if you go ahead and you touch a full shiur, then not only do you become tameh, you also, your begadim come tameh. And then we could say it's both speaking about nogeya. And how do you know it's talking about noseh? This is what Tosfot is working through, all these different possibilities. In the end, he says, Nil hakit lo ukma maga inyan kibus, imkein hava mashba maga lo inyan kibus, umasa tohor gamur. He said, then you'll have this interesting, again, another conundrum, which is that a person who touches the mechatat would be tamei, and only be tamei. If he touches it with the shira, it'll be tamei and kibus bigadim. And then someone who carries it will be completely tahor. So he says, we have no paradigm like that in Tumah. We have certain paradigms in Tumah where a person can be tamei when he touches it, and not tamei when he carries it. For instance, Tumat Sheretz. Tumat Sheretz only happens when you come into contact with the Sheretz, not when you carry it. So fine, I have a paradigm like that. But I never have a paradigm where you touch it and you require kibbutz begadim, and then an osei, then carry it, and you're totally tahor. The only time kibbutz begadim comes up is when you carry it, or hesei, tumat nosei. That's like by nevela. By nevela, if you touch it, you're tamei. You carry it, you become tamei, plus there's kibbutz begadim required. So kibbutz begadim is always associated with nosei, with carrying, not with direct contact. So he says, yes, we find a paradigm of contact being tamei, not nosei, but the only time we find kibbutz begadim, that's by nosei. So he says, if I look at that in terms of a paradigm here, I'm not going to come up with a case where I'm going to be nogeya and then have the requirement of kibbutz begadim, and I carry it, I'm going to be completely tahor. We have no such paradigm in the Torah, and therefore we would never set it up in that way. So what do? We say the nogeya is talking about where you become tamei and not your begadim. And again, over there it says, nogeya b'mei nida. Tell us what over there plays around. Does mei nida mean kol shuhu? Or does mei nida mean only a shiur? In the end, he says mei nida must mean that it is any shiur. It doesn't matter how much you touch. You are tamei. Then it says, umazeh is talking about nosei, when you carry it. When you carry it, then we have a minimum requirement that you carry, that what is ra'ui for haza'ah. And if you do that, not only will you be tamei, your begadim will also be tameim. So like in neveila, where nogeya is tamei only him, and the nosei is he's tamei and his begadim become tamei. So that's what the Gemara did over here. Now the Gemara says we have a machloket in Zvachim and in Nida with regards to whether there is a shiur for hazah. So that's what the Gemara says. Anich l'man damar hazah tzricha shiur. That makes sense according to one who says that hazah requires a minimum shiur. Then you could talk about a shiur of hazah over here. L'man damar hazah ina tzricha shiur ma'ikel emeimer. How are you going to explain this? The Gemara says, wait, you're confusing two issues. Avil amandamar hazayin tzricha shiur, even according to one who says that hazah doesn't require shiur, hane milei agabo de gabro. That's talking about what reaches the individual. When we're talking about the machloket about shiur hazah, that is how much has to land on a person who is tamei mate. So one amandamar says, poshu has to land on the tamei mate. The other one it says, de givolim, the amount that it comes out, meaning the amount of water that would go, or liquid that would go into the hyssop, that has to land on the individual. Aval b'mano, everybody agrees that when you start with the kli, tzricha shiur. You have to start out with the shiur. You're right. The question is the transference of it from the kli to the individual. That goes derech the hyssop. So now when he dips it into the kli, he's got to have a shiur in the kli, otherwise then he's not doing hazah. So that everybody agrees to. The question is, once he's dipped it in the shiur and now he's sprinkling on the individual, how much has to get to the individual? That there's a machloket about. But in the kli itself, everybody agrees that there's a minimum shiur, the tanan. Kama, yehei ban, how much do you have to have in there? Vehei kidei haza'ah. So kidei, shidbol, roshei givalim viazeh. What is this shiur? Is the amount that you have in the kli, that you'll be able to dip in the head of the hyssop, which is absorbent. You'll dip it in, roshei givalim, the head of the stalks of the hyssop, and viazeh, and then you'll be able to sprinkle. So everybody agrees that there is a shiur, a minimum shiur that you need to dip into. Question is now, once you've dipped it, what happens, what the shiur is afterwards? So that's the minimum shear that we're talking about in terms of nosei. The one who's carrying it, that's the minimum shear you have to carry in order to be tamei. So all this, by the way, is to tell us Rabbi Akiva is not the author of our Mishnah. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, a person who gets sprinkled on is tamei tumat erev. If that's the case, the Kohen Gadol, if he's getting sprinkled on every day, he cannot perform the avodah in the Mikdash like is laid out in our Mishnah. So the fact is, Rabbi Akiva cannot be the author of our Mishnah. Then we went through, explained the position of Rabbi Akiva versus the Chachamim, and that's what we've gone through until this point in time. Now, the Gemara says, Abaye Amar offers a different alternative. I feel the tame of Rabbi Akiva. Why are you excluding Rabbi Akiva? I have a solution for Rabbi Akiva, which is, David Avoda Kuleyoma, he'll work all day, Olapanyo, in the late afternoon, towards the evening, then madu'ale. Then they sprinkle on him, vitavil, and go to the mikveh, v'avid erev shemesh. In terms of tumat erev, all you have to do is, you have to get to the mikveh before sunset. So as long as you create the tumat erev very late in the day, it won't affect his ability to perform the avodah. So right before sunset, they sprinkled on him, he jumps in the mikveh, and then erev shemesh, and he's done. So there is a way even to, according to Rabbi Kiva, to make this work, and you don't have to preclude the possibility that Rabbi Kiva is the author of our Mishnah. The Mishnah now presents an order about how the avodah was done in the Mikdash, which is not clear. We have several Mishnayot in which the order is not clear because the order has changed in each of the Mishnayot. And the Gemara now wants to reconcile between these Mishnayot and figure out what's happening. Our Mishnah says, "Umaktira taktoret, umeitivet aneirot." First, you put on the ktoret, and then you do the hatavat aneirot. Alma. From this, you would conclude, Torah Bereisho. First, you do the Torah, Bahadar Neirot. And then you do the Neirot. Viraminu, we have a problem because we have a Mishnah in Masechet Tamid. The Mishnah in Masechet Tamid, which is Perek Gimel Mishnah Tet. The Masechet Tashas has it here as Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav, but it's Perek Gimel Mishnah Tet. And there it says in that Mishnah, I read you the Mishnah, Misha Zacha B'dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi. Dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi is clearing off the ashes from the Ketoret that was placed on the Mizbeach HaZav. Nichnas V'natal HaTeni V'enicho L'fanav. He takes in the bucket, the pitcher that he's going to use to remove it. V'yofuchofein V'notein L'tocho. Then he uses his hand to clear it off. V'achrona Kibir Et Shar L'tocho V'enicho. And he leaves it there. V'yatza. And he leaves. Misha Zacha B'dishun HaMenorah Nichnas. The next one to go in is the person who cleans out the menorah. Umatza shtei neirot mizrachiot dolkim. He finds the two eastern ones lit. Mitashin et ashar. He takes care of the five that are there. Umeniach et elu dolkim bimkoman. And he leaves the two that are lit going. Matzan shikavu. He finds that they have extinguished. Mitashnan umadikan mena dolkim. Then he relights them from those that are still alit. Those two that are on the eastern side. V'achakach, midashen et ashar. And then he cleans out the five. So the five definitely get cleaned out. That's not a question. The only question is, if the other two are lit, then he leaves them alone. If they're not lit, then he lights them from whatever is lit, and then he extinguishes and cleans out the other five, but those two have to be lit. So over there, you have an order, which is taking care of the mizbech hazav with the ktor, cleaning it off, then taking off the menorah, and then later on in Perek Hay, in Tamid, it says, Perek Hay Mishnah Bet, Amalem Chadashim Liktoret. Bring the, do the Ketoret. Yeah, only new people are allowed to do it because it's Ma'ashir. The Gemara later on in Yoma will tell us that it was a skula for Ashirut, for getting wealthy. And therefore, nobody ever got to do it twice because they wanted to give people a chance to become wealthy. So only new people were allowed to join into the lottery to do the Ketoret. So over here you have the Mishnah here, which says first Maktira Tektoret, and then Meitivet Neirot, and then he does Neirot. The Mishnah in Tamid, Perek Gimel Mishnah Tet, says he's taking care of Avata Neirot. Then, two Prakim later in Perek Hay, Mishnah Bet, they're doing the Ketoret. That means Menorah first, then Ketoret. So that's the Gemara's basic question here, is what's the right order? Is it Menorah, then Ketoret? Or is it Ketoret, then Menorah? We have a stira between what we find here in Yoma and what we find in Masechet Tamid. So that's the Reminhu. Misha Zacha, Mizbech Zahav, yeah. That was separate. That's just to show you that it's talking about the morning. Nothing to do with the Ketoret is that it cleans off the Mizbech Zahav, so it's prepared, ready for the next Torah to be brought. That's separate. That's in the Ketoret. Then he cleans the Neirot of Menorah, and then they bring the Ketoret only afterwards. So the Ketoret's brought after the Hatzavad Chamesh Neirot. Right, so now, Amar Ravuna, Mantana Tamid. Who's the author of the Mishnayot in Tamid? Rabbi Shimon Ish Hamitzpeh. Who? Vaib Choshmainenle. Wait a minute, didn't we hear just the opposite? So what the Gemara is trying to do is say, yes, we have a Machloket Tanaim over here, and we'll assign ownership of Masechet Tamid to Rabbi Shimon Ish Hamitzpeh, where he's giving his view of what happened in the Mikdash. Over here in the Yoma, the Chachamim will disagree. And we'll have Mishnayot here that are going to be otherwise, or state otherwise in the Mishnah and Tamid. That's what the Gemara is doing now. But the Gemara says, now we have a problem. Don't we hear just the opposite, that Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh is not the author of the Mishnayot and Tamid? It's not. We have a Mishnah and Tamid. Balo the Karen Mizrachit Tzvonit. This is talking about the Korban HaTamid. So when you come to bring the dam, or sprinkle the dam for the Korban HaTamid, you have to do Shtaim Shehein Arba. Shtayim Mishin Arba means that you put on two that ends up being four. So what they do is they go to the corners and they sprinkle on the corners, and in the corner it splits to two directions. By splitting to two directions, you sprinkle only twice, or you really zorek, you throw it twice from the bucket, you throw the blood towards the mizbech, as it hits the corner, you get two, the corner splits into two sides. If you do it on the opposite corner, then you end up getting all four sides of the mizbech by only doing zrikah twice. So now, in terms of how you do this, so the Mishnah there says, Balo lekeren mizrachit tzvonit, he comes to the northeastern corner, v'notein mizrachat tzvona, and he throws the blood towards that corner, and it splits towards the east and the north. Marvit dromit, then he goes to the southwestern corner, which is the opposite corner, v'notein marava droma, and then he lets it split across that. So now, in terms of the mizbeach, just jog memory a little bit, the eastern side and the southern side of the mizbeach do not have a yisod, do not have the base going out. There's a requirement that the zrikat dama be done in a place where there is yisod ha-mizbeach. So that would mean that you have to do it on the sides that have a yisod. So now, if you come to the northeastern corner and the southwestern corner, all right, the western side has the yisod, and the northern side has the yisod, but the south doesn't and the east doesn't. But if you remember from Masechet Tamid, as well as from in Kodeshim, when we learned this, that the yisod comes around the corner a little bit. So that when it goes all along the northern side, it protrudes into the eastern side a little bit, and the same on the western side. When it goes across the western side, it protrudes into the southern side as well. The only corner that has no yisod whatsoever is the southeastern corner. The southeastern corner has no yisod. So if you have to do two corners opposite each other, if the southeastern side is precluded, that also means that the northwestern corner is out. So the two corners you're going to do it on are the northeast corner and then the southwest corner. That's why it's done this way. And it's done in a manner that it splits across the corner. So that's the way that the Mishnah in Tamid suggests that it's done. And then, Vahatani Allah, and we have, on this, we have a braita that says, Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpeh, Mishaneh, B'Tamid, he tells us by the Tamid, Mizrachit Tzvonit, he agrees that you do it on the northeastern corner, Notein Mizrachit Tzvonah, and you throw it towards the wall and it splits to the north and the east, just like the Mishnah in Tamid says. Marvit Dromit, then he goes to the opposite corner, same as the Mishnah in Tamid, he goes to the southwestern corner, Notein Marova, V'achakach Daroma. Here, he does actually two separate Zrikot, one towards the west and one towards the south. We won't get so involved with it. The Gemara later on will discuss why his opinion is this way. It has to do with the fact that there's a requirement to sprinkle it both Petach HaMoed as well as to Pnei HaMizbeach. Pnei HaMizbeach is the south. That's the front of Mizbeach. That's where the ramp is. And Petach HaMoed is on the west. We'll get to the exact reasoning behind what he says. But we see that he's different than it's what's written in the Mishnah Tamid. How could you claim he's the author of the Mishnayot in Tamid if he differs than the Mishnayot in Tamid? He's obviously not the Stam author in Tamid. Elam Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says it this way. Mantana Seder Yoma. Who's the author here in Yoma is Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpehu. His Mesorah is that he is the author here. So Tosfot says they know that they have a Mesorah about Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpeh that he's the author of some of these Mishnayot in the process of the Avodah and the Mikdash. Question is where? Is that in Tamid or is that here in Yoma? So we had the first attempt to suggest that it was from Rav Huna that it was Mishnayot in Tamid. Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, no, he's the author here in Yoma. Because here, the Mishnayot argue on the Mishnayot in Tamid. And who do we find that argues on the Mishnayot in Tamid? Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh. And this is different than generally in the Gemara. The Gemara will say that we have arguments about a specific Mishnah. Here, the Gemara gives attribution to large numbers of Mishnayot to a single individual. So they had to have a Mesorah of some sort that that was the case. So they try first to say that he is the author of all the Stam Mishnayot in Tamid. Gemara rejects that because we find that he argues. But now the Gemara moves it over here to Yoma and says all these Stam Mishnayot in Yoma that argue on Tamid, that is authored by Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh. Now by doing that, they basically say that the Mishnayot are arguing. We have a Machloket Tanaim. Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh is the author here in Yoma. In Tamid, whoever the Baal HaMishnayot in Tamid argues on Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh. Now, the Gemara says, okay, that's really nice because you're trying to reconcile here between Yoma and Tamid. But Rami say to Yoma, I say to Yoma. If you have a problem in the Mishnayot internally here in Yoma, so this is not going to get you through your problem. It's not. So now we have a Mishnah further on. There are actually numerous Mishnayot here in Masechet Yoma. I'll read you the Mishnayot. We have the one here, which is Zorekat Adam, Maktira Taktoret, Meitiv Et Neirot. Here in our Mishnah, Dam goes first, then Ketoret, then Neirot. In Perek Bet, Mishnah Gimel, this is what the Gemara is quieted now, it's Hapaisa Sheni. The second lottery in the Mikdash was Mishochet Mizorek, Mimidashinet Eminorah. That is a question of who does the Tamid, Dama Tamid, Then who cleans off the menorah? And then Mishnah Dalet says, Habayis HaShlishi Chadashim L'Ktoret. And then we have Ketoret mentioned. So the Mishnah in Perek Bet says Dam, like here first, but then it says Neirot, and then Ketoret. It switches around the order of the Neirot and the Ketoret. Here we have Ketoret, then Neirot. Mishnah in Perek Bet says Neirot, and then Ketoret. In Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalet, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalet, it tells you exactly how the Kohen Gadol did the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim. It says there, Hevi Alo Et HaTamid, Kartzo, Umarek achar shkita yado v'kibel et adam v'zorek. They do the kabbalat adam, drikat adam. Nichnas laktir aktoret. Then he goes in to do the ktoret. V'hativ et neirot, and to do the neirot. So here you have similar to our mishnah, which is ktoret first, and then hativat neirot with dam tamid first. So the mishnah in Perek Gimel is similar to our mishnah here in Perek Aleph. And then to make it all more confusing, in Perek Zayin, when they're finishing off the day. Late in the day, by the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im, over there it says, after the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im is done, it says, V'nichnas laktir ktoret. He does the ktoret first, and then heitiv et neirot. Then he's meitiv et neirot, he does the neirot. So we have, again, three mishnayot that say ktoret, then neirot. And then we have a mishnah in Perek Bet that says neirot, and then ktoret. So that's what the stira that's being asked over here by the Gemara, which is, wait a minute, you think there's a single author here in Yoma, I have a problem because I have the mishnah here, and the Mishnah in Perek Gimel, and the Mishnah in Perek Zayin, versus the Mishnah in Perek Bet, which we just quoted, which is a Pais HaSheni. Misha Shochet, Misha Zarek, Mimi Dashen, Mizbeach Vnimi, Mimi Dashen et Menorah, Mim Alei Avarim LaKevesh. So there you see that they do everything first. Alei Avarim LaKevesh means they finish off the Tamid, they do all this stuff. Then Pais HaShlishi is Chadashim LaKtoret. Once they've finished everything off, then they bring everybody back for a new lottery to see who gets to do the Ktoret. Bovi Piso. Again, the Gemara will talk later on why we do all these lotteries, why we bring people around, and we have so many people involved. It's Bebeit Elokim Nalech Varagesh, that you want to move around, you want a lot of people there, you want commotion, because that's the praise of Hashem, that everybody's involved in the Avodat Hashem, and that there is Barovam Hadrat Melech. It's the idea that we want more and more people involved, and we want more noise, so we have lotteries, multiple lotteries, with lots of people coming. Amar Rabbi Lo Kasho. That's not a problem, because Kan b'havtavat shtei neirot, kan b'havtavat chamesh haneirot. Right. This will go from Abba Shaul that you say in the morning in the Korbanot, which is that there is a distinction between the five and the two. We saw that a little bit in the Mishnah in Tamid. In the Mishnah in Tamid, it only describes him going in to take care of the five and leaving the two. Why does he leave the two? Because he comes back and deals with the havtavat chacheirot later on. Which is, in Masechet Tamid, you have the Dama Tamid, then you have the pious for the Ktoret, then you have Hatavat Beit HaNeirot. So what you actually have in Tamid is you do the five Neirot, then you do the Dama Tamid, then you do the pious for the Ktoret, then you do Hatavat Shtei HaNeirot separately, and then you do the Ktoret. So in Tamid, it's clear that the Neirot go first, and then goes the Ktoret, but it also is clear that you split up the five and the two with the Neirot. Five's done, and then the two is done later. So Amar Rabbi, Lokash, Kamba Tavat Shneirot, Kamba Tavat Chamesh Neirot, the Memra. Tibi Ktoret, Mafsik Luhu. Well, if that's your solution to the problem, that means that you think the Ktoret is in the middle, because our mission says Dam Ktoret Neirot, and the next mission says Dam Neirot Ktoret. So now, if you're reconciling between the Mishneirot and saying one Neirot is the five, one Neirot is the two, that means that you think the Ktoret sits in between the Neirot. V'habayi, Misadim Seder Maracha, Mishmeid the Gemara. Right, that's what you say in the Karbanot, which is that Abayi was Misader the Maracha, explained the order of the morning. Mishmeid the Gemara, Mishmeid the Gemara, he has a Mesorah that way. The Mesorah that he got was in this way, Mekubal Mekol B'nei Yeshiva, the equivalent of, as if it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Libet Daba Sha'ul, that B'dama Tamid Mafsik Luhu, that the Dama Tamid sits in between them, not the Ketoret. So Amri Lokasha, that's exactly the answer to your problem, which is, Hayil Abba Shaul, Hayil Rabbonon. That is a machlok between Abba Shaul and the Rabbonon as to what sits between the Neirot. Everybody agrees that the Neirot are split into five and two. The only question is what sits in between them. Titania. Lo yitiv et Neirot, v'achakach yaktir. You shouldn't first do the Neirot and then do the Ktoret. Elo yaktir, v'achakach yitiv. But rather, you put on the Ktoret and then you do the Atavat Neirot. Abba Shaul omer meitiv, v'achakach maktir. First of all, you're Meitiv, and then you're Mektir. My time with Abba Shaul. What's Abba Shaul's reasoning? Dichtiv. The pasuk says, Baboker, Baboker, Beitivo et Neirot, Yaktirena. So talking about the Ketoret, it says, Viktir alavaron Ketoret Samim, Baboker, Baboker, Betivot and Erot, Yaktireno. When he does the Tevat and Erot, then he'll be Maktirit. So that means, first you do Tevat and Erot, Vahadar, Yaktireno. That's the word of the Pasuk. But Bogre, Tevat and Erot, once you've done the Erot, Yaktireno. Put the Ktoret on the Mizbeach. So what do you do first? Erot first, then Ktoret. Rabbonon, Maikamar Rochmono. What is the Pasuk saying? Bidan Hatava, Tehe Miktar Ktoret. At the time of the Hatava, you do the Ktoret. Which means that the Ketoret is going to sit between the Hatavat and Erot. How do you do them simultaneously? You can't do them simultaneously. You can't literally mean simultaneously because we know from the Mishnayot to Masechet Tamid that whenever the person's makriv the Ketoret, nobody else can be in there at the same time. So they have to be done in a sequential basis. They cannot be done simultaneously. But rather, you do part of the Hatavat and Erot, then you do the Ketoret, and then you do the remainder of the Hatavat and Erot. But what you see from here is that there is a question of where the Ketoret fits. The Rabbanan, the Ketoret sits between the Hatavat 5 Nerot and the 2 Nerot. For Abba Shaul, the Hatavat Nerot is done completely before you do the Ketoret. Dilo Teima Ochi, because if you don't do this, Ben Arbayim, Dichtib, when it says in the afternoon, Uba Alot Aronet Nerot Ben Arbayim, it's a subsequent Pasuk, Yaktireno. What are you going to do there? You're going to say like Abba Shaul, which means Balot Et Nerot, then Yaktireno. It's an order. First do the Nerot, then do the Ketoret. That you can't say. So Achanami Bereishim Adlik Nerot V'Hadar Maktir Ketoret. First put on the Nerot, then do the Ketoret. So Ben Arbaim V'Chitayim Achanami. And we say, okay, yeah, why not? For Abba Shaul, that's the way he's going to explain it. V'Atanya, we have a Braita Me'eravad Boker. Pasuk says by Parshat Titzaveh when it talks about the Menorah, it says Bo'o Moed V'Chutz L'Parochet Asher Edut Yoroch Oto Aron Uvanav Me'erav Ad Boker. Ipnei Hashem Chukat Olam Dorotam Me'ed Bnei Yisrael. What is that Me'eravad Boker? Tein La Midata She'Dolek V'Olechet Kol HaLaila. Put in enough oil so that it should last all night. Here we're talking about even the longer nights in Tevet, which we're coming into by Hanukkah time, the longer nights, you should put in enough oil all year so that it lasts at least through the nights of Tevet. There's no avoda that goes all night like this, which is also the point that it's the last avoda in the Mikdash. The last avoda in the Mikdash is lighting of the menorah, because it's mi'erev ad boker. It's the only avoda that goes from the Erev and then continues through to the morning. So that is the last avoda. So how can you say you do the Nerot, then the Ketoret, when this has got to be the last avoda? So what are you going to, how are you going to explain that pasuk? Bidan hadaka tei maktir Ketoret. So you have to explain the one Ben Arbayim means that you're doing it, quote unquote, simultaneously. That you're doing it at the same time. Same time means, so here it'll mean do the Ketoret and then finish off with the Nerot. Hachanami. So too in the morning, it means the same thing. It's not giving you order. It's not giving you sequence in the pasuk. It's telling you that at the same time, you'll do this. So what is Abba Shaul going to do with this? Shani hotam. It's different over there. Dichtiv oto. Because over there it says oto. And the oto is going to change the way that we look at the order. Which is, oto aron me'eravad boker. So that oto comes to teach us that the Nerot have to go last. And because of that, we take it out of context. We say that's got to be at the end, and despite the fact that you have the Pasuk. All right, so now, before we get, we'll leave Rapapa's solution till tomorrow, but at least let's understand the solution that's presented here by Abaye. Solution presented by Abaye is that we're dealing with a machloket about how exactly the order or sequence went in the morning. Not what we thought the question was. We thought the question was about the Nerot being before the Ketoret or after the Ketoret. That's not what the Machloket is about. If that was a Machloket, we have a solution to that problem. The Nerot actually make two cameo appearances, which is one, they make the Hatavat Chamesh Nerot. Five of the Nerot are taken care of once. And there's a Hatavat Shteya Nerot, which is the two Nerot. So I can divide them up and say, one goes before the Ketoret, one goes after the Ketoret. So in terms of that, I can solve that problem. The issue, or the machloket, revolves around what exactly divides up the five Nerot and the Shtei Nerot. Abba Shaul believes, and that's what you say in the morning, which is that first you do Hatavat five Nerot, then you do the Dam HaTamid, then you do Hatavat Bet Nerot, then you do the two Nerot, and then you Maktir the Ketoret. You do the Ketoret at the end. This derives from his opinion here, which is, the Pasuk says, Baboka Bebogoker Hetivot Nerot, Yaktirena, sequence, Nerot, then Ketoret. So Ketoret is afterwards. If Ketoret is afterwards, we need something else to divide between the five and the two Nerot. That's the Dam HaTamid. For Abba Shaul, you have five Nerot, Dam HaTamid, two Nerot, Ketoret. That's Abba Shaul's opinion. And then you have the Rabbanan's position. The Rabbanan's position is not that, but rather, first you have Dam HaTamid, Then you have Hatavat Chamesha Neirot, then Maktir Ktoret, then Hatavat Bet Neirot. Their position derives from the fact that they say when the pasuk means Baboko, Baboko, Etivorot, Eirot, Yaktirena, that means simultaneous. How do you do it simultaneously? You split it. You have the Neirot, five first, then you do the Ktoret, then you do the Bet Neirot afterwards. Tamid Tamid is before all of that. So now the Chamim are going to be the authors of the position here in Masechet Yoma. Because we have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Zureka Dadam, Umaktira Tektoret, Umetive Teneirot. That's clearly according to the Rabbonon. Because according to Abba Shaul, right, the Dhamma Tamid would be in between the two Neirot. So now you have, the way that it works out here, is that in Masechet Yoma, if you go to the second parak, you have Mishochet Mizorek. That's the Dhamma Tamid. Then you have the Ktoret, which is the Shidi, which is the Chadashim Ktoret. And then, in the Avodah to Kohen Gadol, it also brings the Dhamma Tamid. And then, he nichnas laktir ktoret, ulatib et neirot. So we know for sure that in terms of the Chachamim are the authors of the Mishnayot and Yoma, because Dhamma Tamid is always coming first. Now, what about the switch in the Mishnayot? One time it says ktoret, then neirot. All the times it says ktoret and then neirot. Except for the Mishnah in Perek Bet, which says the other way around, which is the menorah first, and then the toret. So that's not a problem. That will solve the problem by saying the five Neirot, Ktoret, and then Shtei Neirot. So this will be the position of the Chachamim. All the Mishnayot that say Dhamma Tamid first, then they say Ktoret, then they say Neirot, are talking about the two Neirot. The one Mishnah that says Neirot, and then Ktoret is talking about the five Neirot. And that's the solution according to the Chachamim. The Mishnah in Tamid, on the other hand, will follow Abba Shaul's position, which is that do the Dishun of the menorah. Dishuna menorah is the five of the menorah. That's done first. Then what you would expect is that you'd have the Dhamma Tamid afterwards, which is what happens. In Perek Gimel Mishnah Tet, you have Hatavat Chamesha Neirot. Then in Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph, they talk about Shchitat HaTamid and the Dhamma Tamid. Then in Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph, you have the Hatavat Shtei Neirot. And then in Perek Vav Mishnah Gimel, you actually have Haktarat HaKtoret. So that follows the position of Abba Shaul. You have first five Neirot, then you have Dhamma Tamid, then you have, it happens to be that you insert the pious for the Ktoret in between, but then you do Hatabat Shtei Neirot, and then you do the Haktoret itself. So that means that the answer to our question is that Abba Shaul is the author of those in Tamid, and the Rabbanan are the authors here in Yoma, which is exactly what Rapapa is going to say tomorrow. Dhamma Rapapa, Lokasha, Harabonon Abba Shaul. That's how you'll solve the problem. But internally here, the way that Abayi solves the problem is, in Yoma, he solved the problem basically by saying that there are two sections of Neirot, and therefore it's not a problem to have the Torah before or after. The Gemara says, wait a minute, is that really true? You have a problem here in Yoma itself, forget about between Yoma and Tamid. That they solved the problem internally by saying, yes, there's Neirot, Torah, Neirot. Now that's the position of the Chachamim. Again, that's going to lead into saying that that which is in Tamid is Abba Shaul. Okay, we'll stop over here.